Hello, hello, hello. This is Cortina Jackson, and you are listening to What's on Cortina Jackson's Mind. I've missed you all. I've missed you all dearly. Hope you've been tuning in, and I thank you so much for being with me. Tonight's episode is going to be pretty exciting. In episode 5, I entitled it Sex. What are you afraid of? I guess that question was really for me. What was I afraid of? Because I revealed that I had written an erotic manuscript and never published it. I didn't publish it for fear of what people would think about me, what my parents would think, my kids. I feared judgment. And so I never published this piece. Well, tonight I read chapter 4 of On Earth as It Is in Hell. And I can tell you, you will see that I'm not afraid anymore because I put this out. And those people that I fear judgment from, they read it. And I've gotten the most feedback from this chapter and the next. So I hope you'll stay with me. I felt it necessary to add this sexual encounter into this story because it's going to be very important later on in the book. I hope I've piqued your interest in On Earth as It Is in Hell to find out the rest of the story. It's only just beginning. You can get the book right now if you go to Amazon.com, but I would really prefer if you bought it directly from me. It really helps the authors. Amazon is a wonderful resource to use. It's a great platform, but we get more of the profit if you order directly from authors. I urge you to please go to my website. There you'll find the book actually a little cheaper. You can get a bundle, get two for $25, or they are $14.95 a piece. It's really good, you guys. So I hope you've enjoyed it enough to feel so. Go to www.cortinajackson.com. I would greatly appreciate that. In the coming episodes, I do believe this will be my last chapter for On Earth as It Is in Hell, as I want to begin reading The Sounds of Silence Are the Loudest. And you will find it is a very graphic depiction of the life of a serial killer. So I can't wait to dive into that book as well. But I wanted to leave you with just enough of this one to make you yearn after it the way that this man yearns after Clara. You'll get to find out more as you give me your ear. Give me your ear tonight, and I will make sure that I leave it satisfied. Thank you again for tuning in, and here we go. It was the time of the week that Clara looked forward to, even though she knew how it would end. She didn't care. She was chasing the dragon, and maybe tonight was the night that she would catch it again. She wanted tonight to be perfect. Her lover was beginning to be more and more distant, and she felt she was losing him, so she wanted to pull out the charm. She undressed and slipped into the tub filled with bath salts that she bought only for special occasions. The water was so warm and seemed to blanket her very soul as it playfully rippled and broke its waves against her skin. She felt protected and closed her eyes, listening to the water drip with the remaining drops that fell from the faucet and plopped into the pool of water. It was comforting, peaceful, and quiet, a very serene moment. The most peaceful moment Claire had experienced in a long time. She thought about Tony's invitation. She wasn't sure why she was entertaining the thought of Jesus coming into her life, but in this still moment, she felt a sense of peace come over her. She remembered a verse that she memorized in church when she was going through the tough times. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he will direct thy path. She felt something was in her spirit that would not let her leave the confines of her warm and inviting tub. She shook her head as if trying to shake off a bad idea. However, tears began to form in her eyes until every blink produced a tear that dripped into the water rhythmically with a plop, just as the faucet had done before. It was the perfect opportunity for Clara to turn things around in her life. She knew that all she needed to do was tell the Lord how she truly needed him and repent. God would forgive her and restore her and bless her again. I've done that before, Clara thought, and God did not help me. She battled the thoughts in her mind. Her thoughts turned to the night's events and began to convince herself. She began to convince herself to get out of the tub and try to salvage what relationship she did have. She lifted herself out of the tub and wrapped a towel around her body to ward off the cold draft that was beginning to chill her skin. She began to tremble, and this time she wasn't so sure that it was just the result of a draft. Clara wanted to go and meet her lover, but at the same time she was so tired of being played as second fiddle. Damn, Tony. Why did you have to throw God in the mix to make me feel even guiltier, she thought. The thought of church and God was a distant thought in Clara's mind. And how could it be the forefront when forces greater than her were in effect? Every move in her life had been orchestrated and carried out based on her reactions to the circumstances in her life. Satan wanted to make sure that his influence was felt and would have a huge bearing on her life. If he could somehow destroy her self-image and make her stop believing in herself, just like he had done with others, he could have just one more worthless little soul that he could later drag with him to hell without a fight. Souls like Clara's were easy to get. If he could ruin the self-esteem, he knew that the soul would pretty much destroy itself. Take innocent little vaginas and rip them apart. Take little boys and expose them to pornography and sex, and then rape them as well. They will grow up as people who exhibit disturbing behavior. They will breed and recruit future pedophiles, rapists, or murderers, and defile the others. Satan would laugh with delight at his handiwork. Clara began to get ready, despite her reluctance. She paced around her apartment like a caged animal as she attempted to find the right look to present to her awaiting lover. In her mind, somehow the outfit that she chose would be the catalyst for holding on to his heart. She didn't have a lot of selections to choose from, but her decision seemed to take forever. She finally settled on a black dress that stopped just short of the knees and cut low, exposing the top of her breast, with just enough of a tease for the onlooker to beg for more. She cleaned up nicely, revealing her true beauty, but most times she didn't feel an incentive for dressing up. Some days there was just no incentive for getting out of bed. Her self-esteem was all but non-existent. See, she searched for her esteem in all the wrong places, and tonight was no exception. She moved towards the door, so something told her to just forget about the whole thing. However, she fought the urge and continued out into the narrow hallway with its dimly lit light. The smell of the musty and dank carpet, which resulted from its absorption of cigarette smoke, body odor, and moisture stifled her breath. Clara proceeded into the evening ambiance that was all too familiar. The same sirens whizzed by. Homeless men and women prepared themselves for the night by settling into spots that were deceivingly inconspicuous but warm. Cars passed by in a hurry to get nowhere, And in the entire array of activities that filled this evening, there was Clara. She walked, listening for the screams that she always heard and wondered where their source originated from. She was just so thankful that the screams were not her own this time, as she moved closer to her destination. Her heart began to beat a little faster. She hoped that her lover was waiting for her, happy to see her again. She thought about turning around and going back home. After all, he did say, "Never come back." She wanted to take that advice, but her need to be wanted overtook her better judgment. She finally arrived at the hotel. It was the same room every time, room 107. It was the one at the end, right on the corner, easy access to get out in a hurry. She did her signature knock so that he would know that she arrived. Quick knocks. A 2-second pause and then slow knocks. She heard footsteps approaching the door, so she did one final flick of her hair, tugged on the top of her dress to expose a little more cleavage, and put on a seductive smile as she anticipated his reaction to such sexiness. The door was given life as it swung open angrily. "Hi, baby. Don't say anything. Just let this speak for itself." Clara walked in and began kissing him deeply, passionately, keeping his lips from uttering disapproval. When she felt that her kiss had once again captivated him, keeping him silent, she began kissing his neck and licking him behind his ear just the way he liked it. She began to unbutton his shirt, and once it flared open, she rubbed his chest with her tiny hands and quickly licked him across his nipples that were already erect. A surge of electrical excitement zipped through his body, exiting through his toes, making them tingle, and every hair on his body stood on end. "Clara, wait," he said, as he grabbed her by both arms. She easily broke his grip as she dropped to her knees and began biting at his zipper. She knew that by his tone and those two words that he uttered, that she would not see him again, no matter what she did. She felt the bulge in his pants begin to grow, so she grabbed it to ensure that it stayed. When she was quite sure that all the blood filled his cock to full capacity, she unzipped his zipper, pulled his erection out, and thrusted it deeply to the back of her throat. She held fast to his throbbing cock, gently twisting it, squeezing it, and sucking it with persistence to empty him out completely. She realized that she had him at the point of no return. She could feel him trembling, and he grabbed the back of her head to push himself deeper into her warm, welcoming mouth. She rolled her tongue seductively, massaging his shaft as it easily glided in and out of her mouth, which drove him crazy. He grabbed her head with both hands, knees wobbling, as he pushed his cock deeper into the back of her throat. "Not yet, baby," she said, as she jumped up from her knees and pushed him easily onto the bed behind him. She climbed on top of his erect dick, letting it enter her deeply. Any disapproval from him would have to wait at this point, and he did not disapprove as he grabbed her round bottom and pulled her harder on his cock. He thrusted himself deeply into her warm and pulsating inner flesh, in and out, in a rhythmic, erotic dance.
She matched his movements, throwing her body hard against his dick, against his thick, rock-hard erection. She let out moans that just could not be contained. He felt so good. The dragon that she was pursuing was caught in this very moment. He sat up, never breaking the rhythm, only thrusting and penetrating her harder as he let his tongue dart over her nipples. He sucked them and bit at them greedily, sending a surge that caused her clit to swell and throb like the heavy beat of a timpani. She wanted this moment to last forever, but the climax just could not be stopped. She felt his body jerk, and he pushed as deep as he could go, holding it there, as she felt his dick throb, pulsate, and empty into her, eagerly awaiting pussy. He held her tight, leaving her satisfied, and both of them exhausted and fulfilled. They fell back onto the bed, trying to catch their breath, staring at the ceiling, not knowing what to say at this impromptu act. The silence was finally broken by her lover. "I can't see you anymore. It's risky and complicated. And I wanted to come here to make sure that everything we did is kept between us. I don't need you coming after me or acting psycho, trying to look me up or something," he said. She felt very confused and wondered, how would I look him up when I know so little about him? "Why can't we just continue seeing each other like this?" Clara spoke up. "I'm not trying to make things complicated for you. I'm just trying to make you feel good, baby. I want to take your stress away," she said, as she reached for his cock to remind him of her ability to make it happen for him. "No," he said, pushing her hand away. "We can't continue meeting here," he compromised. "When I need some, I will call you. I have your number, but never try to contact me. Never." "Okay," Clara yelled, upset and confused at his persistence for secrecy. She knew her cue. She slowly lifted herself from the bed and began collecting her things. She didn't speak. The dress that she so carefully picked for this special night lay crumpled on the floor in a heap, sticking out partially from underneath the bed. Her heels lay in opposite directions of the room, where she kicked them off upon entering. Fluids remained on her body, and sweat began to dry and leave a white film that told the tale of the night's events. She didn't even bother to clean up. Everything was in disarray, much like her broken heart and life that never seemed to be considered in an empathetic way. Her lover continued to lay on the bed, his eyes closed, his hands and feet crossed with a look of satisfaction yet annoyance that she was still standing there. I think I love, she started to finish her sentence but cut herself off as she put her tiny hand on the doorknob. He never opened his eyes, just proclaimed, "Don't." I'll wait to hear from you soon," Clara responded. He ignored her. So she twisted the knob and opened the door, stepping out into the night air that always welcomed her into its sinister hold. She tried to quicken her steps so that she could contain the tears that were forming over her eyes. She had her pride. "Never let him see you sweat," was her mantra. She didn't want him to get the satisfaction of thinking that somehow he had won. She would never let him know how bad it hurt her to be treated like used goods. It hurt really badly, despite the poker face that she was so good at wearing. So the tears flowed, followed up by sobs and deep lamenting over the fact that this treatment seemed to be her fate. No one seemed to care as she walked by people who were in their own space. They saw tears all the time. They saw despair and hopelessness. They knew what it looked like. So, no one consoled Clara as she walked by trying to get home, for their pain ran just as deep. It was a lonely walk home, but she finally arrived at her building. She could see Tony a few feet away, getting ready for his night out at the club. "Clara," he yelled, "come out with me tonight, girl." "Not tonight, Tony," she responded as she quickly wiped away the tears and put on her fake smile that fooled almost everyone except Tony. "Oh, honey," Tony exclaimed as he grabbed her by both hands and looked into her soul. For no matter how well she tried her face from the tears, pain could not be wiped away. "Did he hurt you, honey?" he asked. "Just my heart," Clara said, voice broken, as she touched her chest with her hand. "That's it. That's it. I'm staying home with you. We'll watch movies, and I'll rub your feet and give you a pedicure. We'll have fun." "No, Tony, go enjoy your night. I'm so tired anyway, and I'm just going to sleep." "Are you sure?" he said. "I don't need to be going out anyway. I'm trying to change my evil ways, but I'm a work in progress," he said as he twirled in circles, shaking his hips. Clara convinced him to go. "Get it out of your system," she said. "I had to do it. I had to go and get closure. And now that I know that lifestyle is over for me. So perhaps you will go and get your closure and then let it go. We will start living right. Right after that. Deal?" "Deal," Tony said as he leaned in, kissing Clara on each side of her face. "Okay, kid, I'll be home early and I will check on you later. Love you." And with that, Tony was off, skipping down the street, looking fabulous as usual. Clara shook her head and smiled, watching him disappear into the darkness, singing as neighborhood dogs chimed in with howls. She proceeded into her building and sighed as she went into her apartment. The apartment seemed to be alive.
"I told you so,"
she could hear voices say, as if they were whispering into her ear. She took off her dress and threw it onto the side of the bed to be picked up later when she felt the urge to clean up. She stepped into her bathroom and looked at herself in the mirror, wondering what she had become.
"I hate myself,"
she said as she slapped her own face. She looked as her face began to redden and swell. She slapped herself again, even harder. And then she began to slap herself repeatedly until the tenderness could no longer be tolerated. "You are worthless." A slow voice began to emerge again, whispering into her ear.
"You are worthless."
Clara thought it was her own thoughts of low self-esteem talking, but it wasn't. It was demons, always present when the chips were down, to make things so much worse. The words came clearly with a vile and evil connotation to them, almost as a snarl.
"You are only good enough to be someone's whore. No one loves you. And why should anyone love you? You're ugly. You have no money. No one even wants your used up old pussy. Why don't you kill yourself? It's so much easier. No one would miss you or care. The pain will go away if you're dead. Out of sight, out of mind."
The voices came more persistently each time, urging her to immediate action.
"No!"
Clara said out loud.
"Yes, yes, yes," the voices chanted.
"Why should you stick around? Why? What do you have to look forward to?
a better life? What would that look like? You can't trust anyone. All men cheat. Show me one who doesn't. The voices seemed to be more menacing. The snarls were bellowing growls. The evil attached to the voices made Clara feel sick to her stomach. No one can be trusted. No one can be trusted. No one can be trusted. Everyone dies. It's better if you choose your own death. Clara was weak, and just as she felt that she would surely pass out, she heard another voice emerge. God would not forgive you if you took your own life. Ask God to come in and help you. He will mend your broken heart. He will comfort you, and he will forgive you and love you, no matter what you have done. Just ask him for help. So in desperation, Clara whispered, God, help. The voices stopped. It was quiet again. Clara stared into the mirror, waiting for a magic trick to be performed in front of her eyes, but she saw nothing and felt nothing. However, her soul won the battle this night. Satan and his imps would not consume her. She walked to her bed, climbed under the covers, and fell asleep.
You can purchase the book right now if you go to www.cortinajackson.com. That's CORTINA, www.cortinajackson.com. Make sure you follow me on all of my social media. I'm on Facebook. If you type in On Earth As It Is in Hell, you'll see the cover of my book and you can join me there. Or you can join my personal page at Cortina Jackson. I don't mind. I love new friends. I'm also on Instagram at MissTina_the writer. That's M-I-S-S, MissTina_the writer. I'm on LinkedIn at Cortina Jackson. And you can also find me at Twitter at TinaTheWriter. For more videos, you can follow me on my YouTube channel. Again, type in Cortina Jackson. You'll see a picture of me in a nice purple garb. Join me there. I love meeting new people. Tell me what you think. Definitely go to my website. And if you'd love to hear more, go ahead and make sure you purchase the book. And also my second book, The Sounds of Silence Are the Loudest, a book about a serial killer. If you want to follow along or read ahead, make sure you go ahead and purchase those books. And also, I am the co-host on a Sirius XM radio station called Live Your Best Life. You can find that on Sirius XM 167 with the host Shay Owens and co-host Mario Choice and myself as we discuss various topics. If you join us there, you can also be heard on Sirius XM radio. So I hope that you will go to www.coachingbtw.com if you would like to book yourself on one of our shows to be heard by millions. Thank you again for listening, and I can't wait till you join me again. Thank you, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
It was the time of the week that Clara looked forward to, even though she knew how it would end. She didn't care. She was chasing the dragon, and maybe tonight was the night that she would catch it again. She wanted tonight to be perfect. Her lover was beginning to be more and more distant, and she felt she was losing him, so she wanted to pull out the charm. She undressed and slipped into the tub filled with bath salts that she bought only for special occasions. The water was so warm and seemed to blanket her very soul as it playfully rippled and broke its waves against her skin. She felt protected and closed her eyes, listening to the water drip with the remaining drops that fell from the faucet and plopped into the pool of water. It was comforting, peaceful, and quiet, a very serene moment. The most peaceful moment Claire had experienced in a long time. She thought about Tony's invitation. She wasn't sure why she was entertaining the thought of Jesus coming into her life, but in this still moment, she felt a sense of peace come over her. She remembered a verse that she memorized in church when she was going through the tough times. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he will direct thy path. She felt something was in her spirit that would not let her leave the confines of her warm and inviting tub. She shook her head as if trying to shake off a bad idea. However, tears began to form in her eyes until every blink produced a tear that dripped into the water rhythmically with a plop, just as the faucet had done before. It was the perfect opportunity for Clara to turn things around in her life. She knew that all she needed to do was tell the Lord how she truly needed him and repent. God would forgive her and restore her and bless her again. I've done that before, Clara thought, and God did not help me. She battled the thoughts in her mind. Her thoughts turned to the night's events and began to convince herself. She began to convince herself to get out of the tub and try to salvage what relationship she did have. She lifted herself out of the tub and wrapped a towel around her body to ward off the cold draft that was beginning to chill her skin. She began to tremble, and this time she wasn't so sure that it was just the result of a draft. Clara wanted to go and meet her lover, but at the same time she was so tired of being played as second fiddle. Damn, Tony. Why did you have to throw God in the mix to make me feel even guiltier, she thought. The thought of church and God was a distant thought in Claire's mind. And how could it be the forefront when forces greater than her were in effect? Every move in her life had been orchestrated and carried out based on her reactions to the circumstances in her life. Satan wanted to make sure that his influence was felt and would have a huge bearing on her life. If he could somehow destroy her self-image and make her stop believing in herself, just like he had done with others, he could have just one more worthless little soul that he could later drag with him to hell without a fight. Souls like Clara's were easy to get. If he could ruin the self-esteem, he knew that the soul would pretty much destroy itself. Take innocent little vaginas and rip them apart. Take little boys and expose them to pornography and sex, and then rape them as well. They will grow up as people who exhibit disturbing behavior. They will breed and recruit future pedophiles, rapists, or murderers, and defile the others. Satan would laugh with delight at his handiwork. Claire began to get ready, despite her reluctance. She paced around her apartment like a caged animal as she attempted to find the right look to present to her awaiting lover. In her mind, somehow the outfit that she chose would be the catalyst for holding on to his heart. She didn't have a lot of selections to choose from, but her decision seemed to take forever. She finally settled on a black dress that stopped just short of the knees and cut low, exposing the top of her breast, with just enough of a tease for the onlooker to beg for more. She cleaned up nicely, revealing her true beauty, but most times she didn't feel an incentive for dressing up. Some days there was just no incentive for getting out of bed. Her self-esteem was all but non-existent. See, she searched for her esteem in all the wrong places, and tonight was no exception. She moved towards the door. Something told her to just forget about the whole thing. However, she fought the urge and continued out into the narrow hallway with its dimly lit light. The smell of the musty and dank carpet, which resulted from its absorption of cigarette smoke, body odor, and moisture, stifled her breath. Clara proceeded into the evening ambiance that was all too familiar. The same sirens whizzed by. Homeless men and women prepared themselves for the night by settling into spots that were deceivingly inconspicuous but warm. Cars passed by in a hurry to get nowhere, and in the entire array of activities that filled this evening, there was Clara. She walked, listening for the screams that she always heard and wondered where their source originated from. She was just so thankful that the screams were not her own this time, as she moved closer to her destination. Her heart began to beat a little faster. She hoped that her lover was waiting for her, happy to see her again. She thought about turning around and going back home. After all, he did say, "Never come back." She wanted to take that advice, but her need to be wanted overtook her better judgment. She finally arrived at the hotel. It was the same room every time, room 107. It was the one at the end, right on the corner, easy access to get out in a hurry. She did her signature knock so that he would know that she arrived. Quick knocks. A 2-second pause and then slow knocks. She heard footsteps approaching the door, so she did one final flick of her hair, tugged on the top of her dress to expose a little more cleavage, and put on a seductive smile as she anticipated his reaction to such sexiness. The door was given life as it swung open angrily. "Hi, baby. Don't say anything. Just let this speak for itself." Clara walked in and began kissing him deeply, passionately, keeping his lips from uttering disapproval. When she felt that her kiss had once again captivated him, keeping him silent, she began kissing his neck and licking him behind his ear just the way he liked it. She began to unbutton his shirt, and once it flared open, she rubbed his chest with her tiny hands and quickly licked him across his nipples that were already erect. A surge of electrical excitement zipped through his body, exiting through his toes, making them tingle, and every hair on his body stood on end. "Clara, wait," he said, as he grabbed her by both arms. She easily broke his grip as she dropped to her knees and began biting at his zipper. She knew that by his tone and those two words that he uttered, that she would not see him again, no matter what she did. She felt the bulge in his pants begin to grow, so she grabbed it to ensure that it stayed. When she was quite sure that all the blood filled his cock to full capacity, she unzipped his zipper, pulled his erection out, and thrusted it deeply to the back of her throat. She held fast to his throbbing cock, gently twisting it, squeezing it, and sucking it with persistence to empty him out completely. She realized that she had him at the point of no return. She could feel him trembling, and he grabbed the back of her head to push himself deeper into her warm, welcoming mouth. She rolled her tongue seductively, massaging his shaft as it easily glided in and out of her mouth, which drove him crazy. He grabbed her head with both hands, knees wobbling, as he pushed his cock deeper into the back of her throat. "Not yet, baby," she said, as she jumped up from her knees. and pushed him easily onto the bed behind him. She climbed on top of his erect dick, letting it enter her deeply. Any disapproval from him would have to wait at this point, and he did not disapprove as he grabbed her round bottom and pulled her harder on his cock. He thrusted himself deeply into her warm and pulsating inner flesh, in and out, in a rhythmic erotic dance. She matched his movements, throwing her body hard against his dick, against his thick, rock-hard erection. She let out moans that just could not be contained. He felt so good. The dragon that she was pursuing was caught in this very moment. He sat up, never breaking the rhythm, only thrusting and penetrating her harder as he let his tongue dart over her nipples. He sucked them and bit at them greedily, sending a surge that caused her clit to swell and throb like the heavy beat of a timpani. She wanted this moment to last forever, but the climax just could not be stopped. She felt his body jerk, and he pushed as deep as he could go, holding it there, as she felt his dick throb, pulsate, and empty into her, eagerly awaiting pussy. He held her tight, leaving her satisfied, and both of them exhausted and fulfilled. They fell back onto the bed, trying to catch their breath, staring at the ceiling, not knowing what to say at this impromptu act. The silence was finally broken by her lover. "I can't see you anymore. It's risky and complicated. And I wanted to come here to make sure that everything we did is kept between us. I don't need you coming after me or acting psycho, trying to look me up or something," he said. She felt very confused and wondered, how would I look him up when I know so little about him? "Why can't we just continue seeing each other like this?" Clara spoke up. "I'm not trying to make things complicated for you. I'm just trying to make you feel good, baby. I want to take your stress away," she said, as she reached for his cock to remind him of her ability to make it happen for him. "No," he said, pushing her hand away. "We can't continue meeting here," he compromised. "When I need some, I will call you. I have your number, but never try to contact me. Never." "Okay," Clara yelled, upset and confused at his persistence for secrecy. She knew her cue. She slowly lifted herself from the bed and began collecting her things. She didn't speak. The dress that she so carefully picked for this special night lay crumpled on the floor in a heap, sticking out partially from underneath the bed. Her heels lay in opposite directions of the room, where she kicked them off upon entering. Fluids remained on her body, and sweat began to dry and leave a white film that told the tale of the night's events. She didn't even bother to clean up. Everything was in disarray, much like her broken heart and life that never seemed to be considered in an empathetic way. Her lover continued to lay on the bed, his eyes closed, his hands and feet crossed, with a look of satisfaction yet annoyance that she was still standing there. I think I love, she started to finish her sentence, but cut herself off as she put her tiny hand on the doorknob. He never opened his eyes, just proclaimed, "Don't." I'll wait to hear from you soon," Clara responded. He ignored her. So she twisted the knob and opened the door,
stepping out into the night air that always welcomed her into its sinister hold. She tried to quicken her steps so that she could contain the tears that were forming over her eyes. She had her pride. "Never let him see you sweat," was her mantra. She didn't want him to get the satisfaction of thinking that somehow he had won. She would never let him know how bad it hurt her to be treated like used goods. It hurt really badly, despite the poker face that she was so good at wearing. So the tears flowed, followed up by sobs and deep lamenting over the fact that this treatment seemed to be her fate. No one seemed to care as she walked by people who were in their own space. They saw tears all the time. They saw despair and hopelessness. They knew what it looked like. So, no one consoled Clara as she walked by trying to get home, for their pain ran just as deep. It was a lonely walk home, but she finally arrived at her building. She could see Tony a few feet away, getting ready for his night out at the club. "Clara," he yelled. "Come out with me tonight, girl." "Not tonight, Tony," she responded as she quickly wiped away the tears and put on her fake smile that fooled almost everyone except Tony. "Oh, honey," Tony exclaimed as he grabbed her by both hands and looked into her soul. For no matter how well she tried her face from the tears, pain could not be wiped away. "Did he hurt you, honey?" he asked. "Just my heart," Clara said, voice broken, as she touched her chest with her hand. "That's it. That's it. I'm staying home with you. We'll watch movies, and I'll rub your feet and give you a pedicure. We'll have fun." "No, Tony, go enjoy your night. I'm so tired anyway, and I'm just going to sleep." "Are you sure?" he said. "I don't need to be going out anyway. I'm trying to change my evil ways, but I'm a work in progress," he said as he twirled in circles, shaking his hips. Clara convinced him to go. "Get it out of your system," she said. "I had to do it. I had to go and get closure. And now that I know that lifestyle is over for me. So perhaps you will go and get your closure and then let it go. We will start living right. Right after that. Deal?" "Deal," Tony said as he leaned in, kissing Clara on each side of her face. "Okay, kid, I'll be home early and I will check on you later. Love you." And with that, Tony was off, skipping down the street, looking fabulous as usual. Clara shook her head and smiled, watching him disappear into the darkness, singing as neighborhood dogs chimed in with howls. She proceeded into her building and sighed as she went into her apartment. The apartment seemed to be alive.
"I told you so,"
she could hear voices say, as if they were whispering into her ear. She took off her dress and threw it onto the side of the bed to be picked up later when she felt the urge to clean up. She stepped into her bathroom and looked at herself in the mirror, wondering what she had become. "I hate myself," she said as she slapped her own face. She looked as her face began to redden and swell. She slapped herself again, even harder. And then she began to slap herself repeatedly until the tenderness could no longer be tolerated. "You are worthless." A slow voice began to emerge again, whispering into her ear.
"You are worthless."
Clara thought it was her own thoughts of low self-esteem talking, but it wasn't. It was demons, always present when the chips were down, to make things so much worse. The words came clearly with a vile and evil connotation to them, almost as a snarl.
"You are only good enough to be someone's whore. No one loves you. And why should anyone love you? You're ugly. You have no money. No one even wants your used up old pussy. Why don't you kill yourself? So much easier. No one would miss your care. The pain will go away if you're dead. Out of sight, out of mind. The voices came more persistently each time, urging her to immediate action. No! Clara said out loud. Yes, 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 the voices chanted. Why should you stick around? Why? What do you have to look forward to? A better life? What would that look like? You can't trust anyone. All men cheat. Show me one who doesn't. The voices seemed to be more menacing. The snarls were bellowing growls. The evil attached to the voices made Clara feel sick to her stomach. No one can be trusted. No one can be trusted. No one can be trusted. Everyone dies. It's better if you choose your own death. Clara was weak, and just as she felt that she would surely pass out, she heard another voice emerge. God would not forgive you if you took your own life. Ask God to come in and help you. He will mend your broken heart. He will comfort you, and he will forgive you and love you, no matter what you have done. Just ask him for help. So in desperation, Clara whispered, God, help. The voices stopped. It was quiet again. Clara stared into the mirror, waiting for a magic trick to be performed in front of her eyes, but she saw nothing and felt nothing. However, her soul won the battle this night. Satan and his imps would not consume her. She walked to her bed, climbed under the covers, and fell asleep.